The Christmas that changed a town's name. River Fork was a small town, a friendly town, except for the Fletchers and McCloskeys. They hadn't spoken to each other for two generations. No one seemed to know why they hated one another, not even the Fletchers and the McCloskeys. But the Fletchers did not speak to the McCloskeys, and the McCloskeys did not speak to the Fletchers. One night, shortly before one Christmas, something happened to change that, and anyone who was there will tell you what made the citizens of River Fork also change the name of their town. It all began one November morning when motherly Mrs. Paris happily made an announcement to her fifth grade class. This coming Christmas, children, our class has been selected to give a Christmas play. We will begin by choosing those who will play various parts, and everyone will have some part in the play. Upon hearing this, the children clapped and squealed. And so the players were selected, and each child who had a speaking part was given a simple script. The sixth graders were given the job of making the stage scenery. The seventh graders would play the music, and parents, as usual, would be asked to make the costumes and to provide refreshments. Mrs. Paris was determined to make this the best Christmas play the school had ever put on. The list went on. Mr. Lovelace had agreed to lend a small, gentle burro, and Mr. Baker promised to provide straw for the stable from his grain feed store. One thing bothered Mrs. Paris, however, the infant Jesus. In almost all nativity plays, a doll was used in the manger. But Mrs. Paris wanted it to be really special. The infant should be a real child. But who would lend a new baby for the school play? She decided to ask her students what they thought. She learned a long time ago that children were smarter than their grown-ups believed they were, especially if given the opportunity to express themselves. She asked her class what they thought of her idea of a live baby for the play, and the children all agreed. They wanted a real baby in the manger, too. That settled it. She asked if anyone had a baby brother. Only one hand was raised. It was Amanda Fletcher. "Yes, Amanda, do you have a small baby brother?" "No, ma'am, but I have a baby sister. She's 3 months old, and she never cries." Aaron McCloskey snorted, "Jesus wasn't a girl? That's dumb. A girl for the baby Jesus?" "Now wait a minute, children," said Mrs. Paris. "The baby will be in a manger, so no one will know if it's a boy or a girl. I shall call your mother tonight, Amanda." That night, Mrs. Paris phoned Mrs. Fletcher, who listened, then said, "Amanda already told me about the Christmas play. She's delighted she was chosen to play the part of Mary, and more delighted that you wanted Christina to be the infant Jesus." "Christina, oh, how beautiful and so appropriate," said Mrs. Paris. Mrs. Fletcher sighed. "There's something I haven't told Amanda yet. We took Christina to the doctor last week." Her voice broke slightly, like mine is right now. "The doctor said Christina has no voice. She cannot cry. She will never be able to speak." Mrs. Paris was stunned. "I am so sorry. I thought you should know. But if you still want Christina in the play, I shall bring her. With Amanda so near, I'm sure the baby won't be upset." On the night of the play, little Christina lay in the manger, squirming and kicking her feet for all to see. She actually seemed to enjoy the attention. At the climax of the play, the stage lights dimmed except for one spotlight focused on the manger. The figure of Joseph and Mary and the wise men knelt in prayer. Off stage, the chorus began to sing, "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." And they sang, and the baby's arms waved. At the climax of the play, as the last notes of the old song died away, Aaron McCloskey, dressed as an angel wearing dark horn-rimmed glasses, came out on stage. A blue spotlight held him in its light. He spread his arms wide and in a loud, high-pitched voice recited flatly, "May the holy birth bring joy into the hearts of each and every one of us this Christmas." He was supposed to leave the stage at that point. But instead, all the thoughts that had long been buried inside the boy came rushing out. And in a voice that was now filled with genuine emotion, he added, "And may my parents and Amanda's parents be friends again." He turned and ran off the stage. There was stunned silence in the auditorium. From the rear of the auditorium, someone said, "Amen." And the applause began. Then, as if in agreement, a small cry. I practiced this all week. A small cry came from the manger, and a tiny arm waved vigorously. Mrs. Fletcher leaped to her feet, raced onto the stage. She picked up the wailing Christina and held her up for all to see. "Praise God," she shouted. "It is a miracle." Word spread quickly about the miracle, for no one had known about Christina's condition. The following Sunday, everyone in River Fork was in church. The Fletchers and the McCloskeys shared the same pew. And Amanda hoped Christina wouldn't disturb the worship service. Reverend Adams stepped to the pulpit. "Friends, I'm not going to try to understand or explain what happened in the school auditorium last night, but we sure saw a couple of miracles happen." He stared directly at the McCloskeys and the Fletchers. "I want to propose that we do something to remind us all of this great wonder. I propose we change the name of our town from River Fork to Miracle." The shouts and applause were enough to convince everyone it was a good idea. And once again, a baby reached into the hearts of people and left the priceless gift of love. And to this day, it said, you'll never find a town where there's more love than in the town of Miracle. As I mentioned, I read that over and over and over again. And as we have spoken so much of the gift of the Christ child this Christmas, I felt it was appropriate. You know, it wasn't just too long ago I came across someone that I have known for a long time that bluntly stated, "I do not believe in miracles." Now, most of you know me and know that I'm pretty quick on my feet, that I could come back with some explanation that would help convince this person that miracles truly do happen. And I must confess, the only thing I came up with was, "Really?" And I looked at this person and I said with a warm smile, "They happen every day. And I hope I can convince you of that over time." Our story today about this small town really does have two miracles in it. The physical miracle of a baby regaining her voice. Miracles not unlike those that Jesus did. But the miracle that lasts far past the story, far past the physical miracle, is that the story is about the change of heart of almost an entire town. A powerful change to the point that they wanted to be remembered. They wanted to remember it every time. And that's really what miracles are all about. Sometimes we can't lay hands on them. Sometimes they're not easy to see. But they are there nonetheless. They happen each and every day, and if not physically, within the human heart. When the Christ child was given to us so many years ago, on that cold winter night in a humble stable, laid in a lowly manger, the world changed, and it changed forever, because to that point, the whole world lived without hope. And from that moment on, the world lived and still does in hope. Hope that that baby brings. Hope that that man bring. His ministry, his love, his sacrifice, and eternal life. This is the hope that we live in each and every day. A hope that God did, that God made perfect, and he gave it to you and me. That's the great gift of Christmas. Unlooked for, undeserved, but given to you and me. We choose tonight to remember that birth. We choose tonight again to give thanks for it. We see again in those wonderful children portraying that miraculous, humble scene. And in all of that, we are blessed. It is my hope and my prayer that you go forth this evening and be changed again, ever more so, every day, in heart and in soul, to live as the people of miracle do, in hope of the newborn Christ. May it shine forth through you. May it always be a part of you. And may others be blessed because of it. Amen.